lead us in prayer, please, sir.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, Father, and gather around your word here this morning. As we open it, just ask that you teach us from your word here this morning. We ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit's help in understanding it and applying it to our lives. And Father, we think of our missionaries out there today and this morning that are getting ready to hold their services or have already had them. Father, I just ask that you encourage their hearts, bless their services, protect them while they're out there serving you, Father, and bless their day-to-day. We do think of these that have medical tests coming up this week, Father, that you would be with them. We think of the ones that have surgeries coming up, Father, that you would also be with them and encourage their hearts. Give the doctors wisdom in all these situations, Father. And those that aren't feeling well, I just ask that you lift them up and give them strength and health, Father, and bless our day-to-day. We just pray that we can be a blessing to Brother Jeremy and his family. We thank you for them being allowed to come here, Father, and be a blessing to us. And we just thank you for your goodness to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Just one note on your bulletin. The picture on the front there is the airplane hangar. I forget the dimensions of it, but you can see it's not a small building. I think he said it'll be big enough to hold two or three airplanes. And so they're ready to start building the truss rafters this week. And so I think it was last week we had a picture of the mahogany 2x6s there they'll be using. And Brother Joe looked that up. And so clear mahogany, buying it here would be about $55,000. And over there, the whole building, I think he estimated at $50,000 to $60,000. So the price of material here has been very expensive. But anyway, those are pretty long trusses, so pray for them as they put those together this week, Lord willing. So remember them in prayer. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, as we consider this book of the Bible. Romans chapter 1. Okay, and we'll pick up today in verse 5, Romans 1, 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we'll stop there, I guess, for a moment. Okay, so back in verse 5. He's saying, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. So what does he put forth before his position? What is his position there? Apostle, okay. So what does he put even before that? Grace, all right. So before any lofty titles or anything, it's the grace of God, isn't it? The grace of God, that's what he puts first. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's really easy in life to get carried away. It reminds me of really what happened with COVID last year. A lot of things happened, but I just look at it as, you know, God was trying and is trying to still get our attention. What happened last spring that probably none of us have ever seen happen in all of our lives? What often happens in the spring? A lot of things, I understand. But in regard to people in schooling, what happens in the spring? Graduation. And there was a lot of graduations that were not held or were a small imitation of the real thing. Elizabeth got her nursing degree, I think that was the spring, wasn't it? Yes. And it was totally different. So there, it's outside, being held outside graduation, and you know, they had the students come up one by one, and it was just, it wasn't the glory and the pomp and all the stuff that goes along with it normally with graduation. It was very downplayed, compared to normal. So, you know, and what it reminded me of is that, you know, when we stand before God, we stand before Him what? Alone. And we look at a verse here in just a moment, but let's read this verse 2, Ephesians 2. And could I have a volunteer to read verses 8 through 10? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Okay, Brother Beery?
are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Okay, so when we earn something, what verse 9 reminds us there that when we actually earn something or it's of ourselves, what is this flesh prone to do? Boast, okay? But salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you imagine what heaven would be like if we got there by our good works? We'd have to, for all eternity, listen to everyone brag about how great they were on earth. That wouldn't be too pleasant, would it? No, it wouldn't. So it's verse 8, by grace, by grace. So verse 10, we're his workmanship, but we're created in Christ Jesus. It's his creation, not ours. And then Romans chapter 14, Romans 14. So this COVID thing, I believe God has used it in so many ways to give us a little picture about what's coming. And all the pomp and circumstance and all the glory and all the prestige that this world has, that's going to be all wiped away when we stand before God. Could I volunteer to read Romans 14, 11, and 12? Romans 14, 11, and 12. Brother Tim?
For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God.
Okay. When we were in Chattanooga at graduation, when anyone received a doctor's degree, they would start back with their birth. This person was born in such and such a place. This person went to, elementary school, this city, and high school in this city, and graduated from this college with a BA degree, and this college with a master's degree, and anything else, and then finally, the doctor's degree. So, they've really built it up and played it up, like given this person's life history and then the crowning achievement, the doctor's degree was conferred upon them. But you know what? When we stand before God, every knee is going to bow to who? To God, not to man. Not to man and all of his things that he hangs on the wall. But we're going to all bow to God. In verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So it's not going to be like with Adam and Eve. Adam, did you eat of the tree that I commanded you not to eat of? The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. God says to the woman, why have you done this? The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Life is filled with that, isn't it? Life is filled with transferring blame. Psychology loves that. And that's why it's so hard to mix psychology with the Bible. Because, notice with me in Mark 7, Mark chapter 7. Whenever we mix so-called man's truth with God's truth, the funny thing is God's truth always seems to be the loser because man always wants to exalt man instead of God. Mark chapter 7, and could I have a volunteer to read 7 through 9? Mark 7, 7 through 9. Brother Joe? Okay, so the problem is back in verse 7. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the what? The commandments of men. So we've said this often, but whenever we put anything on the same level as God's word always seems to be the loser. And so people do that a lot. When I had to take a psychology course, our professor did that to us the very first day. He said, okay, the Bible, the book of psychology, and he said, now, the truths that psychologists have found, okay, the truths they have found are just as true as the Bible, God's truth. And so he tried to disarm us by placing psychology and its findings on the same level as the Bible. The problem with that is we never know whether he says is actually true or not. I mean, we know it's not true what man says when it contradicts the Bible. So we see that right off. But I mean, just think with this COVID. Just think all the different things we've heard. Now, at first they said, okay, just get this vaccination, you know, and we're gonna rid the world of this COVID. Well, in a short time, what did they do? They come out with a booster. But I thought you said the vaccination was going to take care of it. Well, so we got a booster. Well, and now what's happening? Well, another booster. So we never know what man says, whether it's going to play out to be true or not. We don't know. But we do know about the Bible. So the problem is in verse 7, when people teach for doctrines the commandments of men, we don't know until a later time, like I said, unless it clearly contradicts the word of God. We know man is wrong, but there are many things we don't know what man is saying, whether it's going to end up really being true or not. So what happens then when you put anything on the same level as God's word? What happens is verse 8. So you have these two things on, you put them on the same plane because you said this is truth. So what does verse 8 say happens?
Laying aside
the word of God. So when you put two, you know, as Matthew 6 tells us, no man can serve two masters. You can't have two masters. And so what happens as time goes along and you see a conflict, and it's God's word that's usually what's laid aside, and this is held up still. And then in verse 9, after that's happened, after we put anything on the same level as God's word and then laid aside God's word, what happens in verse 9? Yeah, then it's just flat out reject the commandment of God. It's like, no, this is true. The Bible's wrong. No, that's the opposite of the truth. So let's go back then to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There in verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. So he puts grace ahead of any titles. If you hold your place here, let's go to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And the matter of these titles, again, that men love to give. You notice in the Old Testament, what was the first line that had dukes? And dukes were like political heads of peoples. It was not the godly line. It was the ungodly line. It was through Esau. That was the line that first had dukes exalting man instead of following God. And then later, the godly line. That's when people rejected Samuel and they wanted a king, like all who? The other nations, like all the other nations. So in Matthew 23, let's read 7 through 12. So could I have a volunteer to read Matthew 23? 7 through 12. Matthew 23, 7 through 12. Okay, Brother Barry.
And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call a man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you
Okay, so the scribes and Pharisees, they love the lofty titles. So we're not to call anybody rabbi. We're not to call them master. We're not to call them father in the sense of a spiritual father, religious father. So one is our master, verse 10, even Christ. So we're to humble ourselves. You know, I never signed my name Reverend. You know, some people want to call their pastors Reverend. The Bible says holy and reverend is his name, God's name. So man shouldn't take that title upon himself. We're just brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's what we are. And that's the best title we could give each other is brother or sister. Okay, so back once again in Romans 1. So, Paul puts this grace that he has received ahead of his apostleship. And now God did use the apostles. Apostles, the word apostle means sent one. And so they were sent, and he goes on to tell where, verse 5. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to what? The faith among all nations for his name. So when God gives us a calling, then our part is not to gloat in whatever the calling is. Our part is just to humbly obey, to remember the grace. And so he said, you know, this apostleship we've been given for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, not their own. Notice in Matthew 28. So he took that calling seriously. Matthew 28. And let's read 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I believe, Tom, you had your hand up last time. If you'd like to read that, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Okay, so when you compare these verses with Romans 1:5, and he said in Romans 1:5, for obedience to the faith among all nations, he was taking this here literally, that all power is given to Jesus, Matthew 28:18, that keeps us looking to him, not thinking that we are some great one. In verse 19, he took it seriously to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So, all nations. So, we strive to do that. Some God will call to go in person to those nations. Others God will call to give, to help them get there. There's other means too today. You think of the internet and websites that people across the world can access them. We saw Wednesday night in the prayer list that we've seen people from around the world find the website, find the gospel literature. So it's encouraging. My dad and I was able to go down to Parker Memorial Baptist Church in Lansing this week and have a little tour of their print shop. And after seeing their equipment, I'd never seen it before. And so I know they face the same things we do. Right now we're working with used machines, and they have a warehouse with a lot of used equipment in it. And I saw one, I don't know if that was a cutter or maybe a glue machine, I forget. But one of those, it had a wire on the top of it and a plug, and the wires were all sticking out with the bare ends on them. And I think a plug there. And so I knew that machine had serious problems. Okay. And so it looks like they're trying to limp along too with used equipment. So it's a challenge, but praise God that we can get out his word. I was noticing down there on one of their racks, they had some John Romans that said Farsi language. And of course, that's what Brother Michael speaks to the Iranians and some of the Afghanis, and I don't know how many nations over there speak Farsi, but anyway, Brother Michael knew that they had those down there, and evidently they're going to get those over to that area. So be in prayer. What a privilege it is to be able to get out God's word. And that's what the Lord wants here in verse 19. He wants us to get out his word to all the nations and then to see them baptized. And then verse 20, then to teach them. And of course, that's what Brother Michael is doing. And a lot of nations where he can't go is, especially Iran, to teach and pray for their safety. I was asking him, I said, are the Iranians bothering your family at all over there because of what you are doing, getting the gospel out? And he said, I think it was just only like a month ago, that they took, I don't know if it was all of his sisters or some of his sisters, in and interrogated them because some of his family had gone to Armenia. Remember when he went over there? And so some of his family had gone there. And so just recently they interrogated them, and to one of them they asked her, why did you let so-and-so use your phone, your cell phone, when you were in Armenia? And they knew all about the conversation. Well, how many months ago was that, and how did the Iranian government know that one of his sisters had loaned someone else? I don't know if they left their phone in the car or what, but they just asked to borrow one of his sister's phones to make a call to someone. And the Iranians knew someone else had used the phone. They knew who it was, and they knew what the conversation was about. So we really need to pray for their safety because they would love to get him. As we went out witnessing yesterday, and Brother Michael readily told people right off the bat that if he ever went back to Iran, and he always did this, they would kill me. And so we really need to pray for safety as they travel everywhere they go. So anyway, we want to get the message to the nations. And that's what Brother Michael desires to do as well. So back in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 then. So we don't glory in titles. We don't glory in positions. We glory in the grace of God. And whatever abilities or means or substance that God has given us, it's to for his glory and to try to get his name known amongst the nations. So Paul is an apostle. Not everyone is an apostle. I mean, we're all, in a sense, we are. We're all sent to do God's will. But, I mean, we don't have that title, apostle. But verse 6, among whom are ye also, what? The called of Jesus Christ. So now he's saying, you know, this is what God has called me to do, but you, all of you are called of Jesus Christ. You know, God needs and wants his name born before people in all walks of life. I mean, represented here are many different occupations, places of work, types of work. And God wants his name known in every one of those places. A good example of it is back in the Babylonian captivity. In the Bible, we have some long books. Jeremiah. Daniel isn't quite so long, but Daniel and Jeremiah were contemporaries of one another. In other words, their lives overlap. And Ezekiel is a pretty long book. Ezekiel, his life overlapped with those. So what you have is when Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians attacked Israel, you had Daniel and his three friends with some others taken captive to Babylon, and they were chosen to receive more schooling and then stand before the king as counselors. Now, Ezekiel was a priest. He was in a priestly family. He also was taken captive to Babylon, but he was not up with the king. He was down at the river of Kebar with all the other people of Israel. And so in captivity, God had one he placed right with the king day by day. Another one he had placed with his people every day, day by day. But then there were some people left back in the land, and that's Jeremiah. So these three men, Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel, they were all living at the same time, but none of their callings were to be in the exact same place. But all of their callings were what? To glorify God. All of them. Jeremiah's place was back in Israel, in the land, trying to get the word of God to the people, the common people. It was Daniel's place to try to get the word of God to the king and his palace. It was Ezekiel's place to try to get the word of the Lord to all those captive Jewish people that were there in captivity in Babylon. So it's like with us today. We're in all different, we all rub shoulders with different people during the week. We all have different realms, but God wants us to glorify him wherever we are. So verse 6, among whom are what? Ye also, the called of Jesus Christ. So, you know, sometimes we just exalt certain people. You know, we maybe in our minds it's like, well, it's the missionaries that really, I mean, when they get to heaven, they're going to be the ones exalted. Well, that is a great calling to be a missionary. But you know what? It's also a great calling to have to face the lost every day where you face them and where I face them. That also is a great calling of God. You know, when Jesus walked upon this earth in his earthly ministry, he often stopped. He often had great multitudes of people around him, but he often stopped for what? One. You remember one day when a great multitude was around him and they were walking down the road and he came below the limbs of a sycamore tree. Do you remember what he did? He stopped for one, didn't he? It was that little rich fella up there in the tree, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Different times, different people, whether they're blind or some other physical need. And they'd be crying out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And people would try to get him to be quiet. But Jesus would stop for that one and call that one to come. So verse 6, we all have our calling. And that calling is not less important than anyone else. In verse 7, in Romans 1, 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. And then what?
Called to be saints.
You know, sometimes we glory in seeing power displayed. I like on 4th of July, sometimes we've been down handing out tracts in Grand Rapids, and they always have their grand finale, of course. And one time we were out on one of those bridges, and when it gets dark, we kind of stop passing out the tracts then and just wait for the fireworks to go off. But I can recall one time standing on one of those bridges, we were watching the fireworks, and the grand finale, all of those booms, and the bridge was just shaking. I mean, vibrating with all of the sound. And it was like, I mean, I don't know if you ladies appreciate things like that, but maybe it's just a guy thing, but just, I mean, the noise is getting louder and louder and louder, the rumble louder and louder, and you could feel it. And it was just kind of a thrilling moment, you know, just the power being displayed. And sometimes we kind of glory in that. But was God in the wind? Was he in the fire? Was he in the earthquake? What was he in? The still, small voice. If you notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, So many times we glory in the power. The power, that's what we glory in. But that really is not where it's at. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's see here. Let's read 1 through 4. Can I have a volunteer? Let's see. I think Brother Jim. Brother Jim, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. Okay, so in verse 1 there, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What are cymbals made to do? Sound. You're supposed to boom them together and then let them resonate as you pull them apart. And what does he say? You know what? If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a what?
Tinkling cymbal.
A tinkling cymbal? You know, some they're not made to make a little tinkling sound. It's a clash. Resonate there. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even to give my body to be burned, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, there are people that would do some one great last act in their lives just to be known for it. But that's not that they care for people. Verse 4, it's charity that suffereth long and is kind. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. So as we just consider this morning these few things about Paul, before he passed along any lofty titles he had, it was grace. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. And he reminded the people he was talking to, listen, just like I'm called to be an apostle, you have a calling upon your life. Next time we'll see, Lord willing, we're called to be saints. What does it mean to be a saint? We'll look at that next time, Lord willing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us. The flesh glories in the pomp and circumstance and the prestige and in being recognized and praised. But Lord, we understand all of that belongs to you and to you alone. Father, we're not worthy of anything. It's just only by your grace that we can be saved. It's only by your grace that we can have an impact for eternity. It's only by your grace that you've allowed us to be able to do anything. But Lord, help us to remember that the position that you've placed us in our lives, whether it appears great or small, is important to you. Every single person is important to you. And so, Lord, please encourage our hearts and use us, Lord, in whatever you have called us to do for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you.